Amanda and Jeff Mundy are going to come and bring us our readings from Isaiah 9 and John 14. And then Lisa's going to come and speak to us.
The first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy. Lord, you have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn, or when they divide captured wealth, for you have broken the yoke that burdened them, and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian years ago. The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 14, and it's verses 6 to 7. Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me," he said to them, "you will know my Father also, and from now on you do know him and you have seen him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you will open up that word to us and speak into our hearts. We pray that you will reveal new things to us from your word. And we pray too that you will work within us, help us to be ready to be inspired and challenged and to hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Sunday, the Christmas lights were switched on in the city. The Christmas music has been playing in the shops for quite a few weeks, I think, before then. And last week, a leading newspaper ran a feature to try and determine whether or not it will be a white Christmas. As we enter the season of Advent and prepare for Christmas, we will probably all encounter a variety of messages about the meaning behind this time of year. Images of families happily gathered around log fires, children playing in the snow, sumptuous feasts of food and drink and glamorous parties fill our screens and try to convince us that Christmas always used to be like that, and it will not be successful if it is not like that again. Interestingly, the Met Office declares that a white Christmas was actually much more common in the 18th century. The kind of Dickensian scenes of snow covering the ground that we picture on Christmas cards is in reality quite rare. And according to them, that kind of snow has only occurred 4 times in the UK over the last 50 years. Nevertheless, people will still be dreaming of a white Christmas and chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And the truth of Christmas will be mixed with the magic and fantasy of Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So how do we help people to know what is real and what is fairy tale? And how do we hold on to our own faith when the idealised Christmas pictures seem a world away, perhaps from our own reality, or certainly from many of the challenges that are facing us in our world today. This morning we're beginning our new Advent series in which we will be using the classic Christmas film Miracle on 34th Street to help us to reflect on issues of faith. We'll be using clips from the movie, both the original version and the 1994 remake, throughout our morning Advent series as we rediscover the truth that Christmas is someone to believe in. Someone who brings hope amidst the pain and the challenges of our world. Someone who can change our lives and who has changed our world, whether we believe it or not. Now, in case you have never seen it, Miracle on 34th Street is a film about a man that claims to be someone that sensible adults don't believe in. Kris Kringle has been employed by Mrs. Walker at a major store on 34th Street, New York, to play Santa Claus in the Thanksgiving parade and then in the weeks that follow in the store. The people love him. And for a number of reasons that we're not going to reveal today, he is soon seen to be a major asset within the store. And it quickly becomes evident that Mr. Kringle seems to believe that he really is Santa. But Mrs. Walker has faced a lot of disappointment and hurt in her life. As a result, she has taught her daughter Susan not to believe in any kind of fantasy. No Santa Claus, no fairy tales, no fantasies of any kind, to quote from the film, because believing in myths and fantasies just makes you unhappy. For Mrs. Walker, her own experience of people letting her down and of her dreams not coming true has caused her a lot of pain and understandably has left her somewhat guarded about what she chooses to believe and in whom she chooses to trust. Now, I don't think Mrs. Walker's feelings are dissimilar to the opinions of many people today. She may have gone to quite extreme lengths because of her strong feelings, but how many times have you heard someone say they can never believe in God because of all the pain and the suffering that they can see in the world? In other words, their own painful experiences and the terrible events that they've witnessed have left them feeling unable to believe in anything or anyone better, and unable to trust that things can really be any different. The darkness that they've been subjected to has greatly impacted their view on the world, on what they choose to believe, and in whom they choose to trust. Now, perhaps the situations that they encountered were slightly different, but that darkness was very much a reality for the people that Isaiah was speaking to, as we heard today. It was a very dark and a very frightening time for the people of Israel. And it was into this context of darkness and fear that Isaiah brought this message. At the time, Assyria had become strong and was systematically taking over the entire region. The king and his people were so terrified that Isaiah tells us a couple of chapters earlier, they trembled like trees shaking in the wind. The threats of oppression and slavery loomed large. Where was God in the midst of this oppression? And it was into this darkness that Isaiah brought this message of hope. We heard in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. And the message goes on to say that the darkness they are experiencing will not have the final say. One day they can enjoy freedom under a ruler who reigns with justice and with peace. What a wonderful message. What an inspiration. What an encouragement in the midst of their darkness. Now, it's easy for us to read this message today and think that after such amazing news, every one of the people would then renew their confidence in God and everything would be okay. But the reality for the people at that time was still darkness. Yes, things would change, but what they could see in front of them was still pain and oppression. The world today has different challenges. You don't need me to tell you, though, that it is still very much a place of darkness. Yes, there are good and beautiful things, but the darkness that Isaiah alludes to of sin, evil, suffering, and death are still very evident. We live in a world that encounters war, poverty, terrorism, sickness, insecurity, loss, and fear. This week, Childline revealed they received a surge in calls from British children as young as 9 who were anxious about their safety in the week after the Paris attacks. It was reportedly the charity's biggest ever spike in terrorism-related calls. We are living in darkness, and many people are afraid. And so in some ways, it's easy to see why people today follow Mrs. Walker's line of thinking and allow the pain and the suffering to stop them from believing that things can be any different. But Isaiah's words are not a fantasy to make us feel better. They're not a fairy tale to make us think that everything will end happily ever after. Isaiah's words foretell the coming of the Saviour, who put the wheels in motion for the vision to become a reality. Even so, we are still living in the darkness, waiting for the final fulfillment of the prophecy to take place. It's easy to look around today and for people to feel we are so far away from a kingdom of peace and justice that they cannot believe it will ever be any different. But just as the Son has been born, as we will soon be celebrating at Christmas, so his power will grow. He is the Prince of Peace, and his kingdom will never end. Darkness is a reality, but into the darkness shines a light. In a few moments, I'd like us to explore what that light looks like, why the light can be trusted. But first, let's return to the miracle on the 34th Street. Mrs. Walker's own unbelief and disappointment has greatly impacted her daughter, Susan. After all she had seen and heard, suddenly there was a flicker of faith in the heart of little Susan. Could he really be who he said he was? The beard was certainly real. The suit was very impressive. But as her mother went on to point out, that doesn't make him Santa Claus. But as Susan watched him talking to Sammy, those seeds of faith began to grow. Into the darkness shines a light. Isaiah's message of hope tells of a light that will shine into the darkness. The light he described is the presence of God. It's the approach of God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, and God's justice. The message from Isaiah does not deny the reality of the darkness. It talks quite clearly of the yoke that burdened people, the rod that beat their shoulders, the blood-stained clothing from war. It recognizes that the world is a messy place, but it is into this dirty world that the Messiah would step in order to bring hope, justice, and peace. Isaiah reveals that the light will come in the form of a new ruler, a king who would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, some people have suggested that the king Isaiah is describing is King Hezekiah. But most theologians would agree that no earthly king has ever been described as the Mighty God. These words can only be used to describe the Messiah himself. Through the Messiah, God will bring light into the darkness, freedom from oppression, joy from despair, and peace from conflict. Isaiah makes it clear what the Messiah will be like and what he will accomplish. It will be possible to see God at work. But as he tells us in verse 2, we need to see the light. We need to recognize God at work and see the truth of the Messiah. Instead of letting what we've seen of the darkness prevent us from believing, Isaiah reminds us that there is someone we can believe in, and it's important that we look for the light. As we're considering those seeds of faith this morning that are planted into the lives of others and ourselves, it might be good to take a moment to reflect on those little things that influenced your decision to look for the light. Perhaps it was a person you knew who demonstrated Jesus' love and his truth to you. Or maybe it was a situation that you experienced that started that search within you. The reality is that for many of us, there are a number of things that influence us, people and situations, that enable those seeds of faith to be planted and to grow. And as we allow these seeds of faith to grow in our life, so we begin to see the reality of the light in greater ways. And in doing so, we learn to trust the light more. Maybe this morning, we need to take that first step of faith to begin to believe and to consciously look for the light. Or perhaps we need to be reminded of some of those things that we have experienced of God, to encourage us to look again into the light. You know, it's quite normal that sometimes the darkness that we experience can become a little bit overwhelming. And at those times, we feel that the light that we once saw shining so brightly has just begun to go dim. We need to remember those things that we know to be true and use those things to help us to look for the light. Or perhaps in remembering the impact that others have had on your life, it will remind us that we can also have an impact on the lives of others as we choose to live in the light, so we can also point them towards the Saviour. Isaiah reminds us that there is someone to believe in, but that someone is not just a fantasy. He is the Messiah himself. And that Messiah can be known personally today. He is real. He is true. He is Jesus. Let's flip back again to our movie, this time to the original version. As Mrs. Walker talks with Susan, she begins to see these seeds of faith growing. And she's desperate for her daughter to know the truth. Susan begins to take steps of faith when she begins to believe in Mr. Kringle, because she sees in him what she expects Santa Claus to be like. As Mrs. Walker questions him, he tells her quite clearly, "I always tell the absolute truth." Now that's easy for him to say, and Mrs. Walker obviously still needs a bit of convincing. But as we look at the promises of God through the Bible, Jesus is also what the Saviour is expected to be like. Not because he immediately fixes everything and solves all the problems, but because as you look at his life, his lifestyle backs up his claims. Jesus is the Son of God who lived, who wept, who washed feet, who healed, who challenged and pointed people to God, who saved, who gave his life to offer us the opportunity to be saved too. More than that, Jesus didn't just claim to speak the absolute truth. He claimed to be truth itself. John tells us in his gospel, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." Isaiah points us to someone we can believe in. And in Jesus, that someone becomes a reality. As one commentator nicely explained, the transcendent became created. The morally perfect entered a world of sin. The infinite became finite. The immortal experienced mortality. Jesus is not just an abstract hope or dream. He is alive today, and it is possible to know him personally. He is at work in our world, bringing in the kingdom that Isaiah talks about. And by his Spirit, he's at work in his people, making that vision a reality. And he wants to use us to be part of that process, to plant seeds of hope in the lives of others so that they are not afraid, and to see the seeds of faith in our own life grow as we step out in faith and trust in him. Darkness is very much a reality in our world, but today we can have hope, because into the darkness, God shines a light. Jesus is not only a reality, he is truth itself. The Son of God, born into the darkness to free us from the suffering and the pain. This is a message for us here today, that we should enter into that kingdom of peace by allowing Jesus to reign into our lives. And as we do so, may we learn to live in a way that helps to bring in that kingdom of justice and peace, planting seeds of faith and helping others to see the light that shines in the darkness. Let's take a moment of quiet to reflect on God's word to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, we thank you that you did not allow this world to stay in darkness, but that you sent Jesus, your Son, our Saviour, not only to be light and truth, but to bring light and truth and to help us to enter into your kingdom of peace. Lord, I pray for those of us here that need to take that first step of faith, to trust in you, to dare to believe. Lord, please help us. Give us the courage to see you, to know you, to welcome you into our lives. And Lord, I pray for those of us who have experienced and witnessed a bit too much of the darkness, where that light has grown dim. Lord, allow that flame to flicker brighter and brighter within our hearts. Help us to know you as truth and reality in our own lives. Remind us of your presence with us and your love for us. Help those seeds of faith to grow within us. And Lord, I pray for each of us that you will help us to plant those seeds of faith in others, to so demonstrate your love and your truth that they will see your goodness and your beauty and your light shining in the world, and they will enter your kingdom too. In Jesus' name, amen.